Chronicles now transmitting.
Welcome to the Tate Chronicles on Healthcare Now Radio. And now, here's your host, Jim Tate.
Good day, citizens of the free world. From border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea, I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Tate Chronicles. Join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare technology. Our mission is simple. We're searching for beneficial disruption in healthcare from emerging technologies and processes. I'm very pleased today. My guest is Raja Bodbury. Raja is the Global Enterprise Healthcare Lead at Hewlett-Packard. In that position, he leads the launch of HP's Healthcare Edition portfolio globally. So, Raja, thank you very much for joining us today and sharing some of your insights.
Thank you very much for having me, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
One thing I definitely want to talk about is a very large emerging issue in healthcare, is that the presence of technology at the point of care. Now, a generation ago, there was no really technology, whether it was in a hospital room or in a clinic exam room. But now in both inpatient settings and ambulatory settings, there's a lot of technologies. There's computers, there's IV pumps, there's all kind of devices. And so there's a giant potential or a risk of infection taking place through this transfer point of the technology. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, this is a very important topic, Jim. You know, what you're talking about here is what's called healthcare-associated infections. It used to be referred to earlier as hospital-acquired infections, but generally HAIs. That's the acronym. And this is a global problem cutting across clinical settings. And HAIs, or again, healthcare-associated infections, are infections people get while they are receiving healthcare for another condition. And as you mentioned, you know, there is a risk, partly because of these IT devices, that some very dangerous pathogens might get into contact with people and really potentially kill people as well. So just to give you an idea of the scale of of this problem, HAIs or these healthcare-associated infections affect over 750,000 people in the U.S. and kill annually 99,000 people. And what we're talking here is, you know, pathogens that can be bacteria, viruses, fungi, things like the methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, MRSA, or vancomycin-resistant enterococci like VRE or C. diff. You know, these are horrible diseases which can really, really affect people who are immune compromised and cause, you know, a range of problems like, you know, diarrhea, colitis, pneumonia, potentially life-threatening infections. Now, a bulk of the HAIs are caused by surgical site infections or catheter-associated UTI and so on. And fortunately, the medical community has worked very, very hard to reduce the risk stemming from these, you know, from surgical site infections and so on. But now I think what's happening is the medical community is becoming more and more aware of the transmission of pathogens from surfaces in patient rooms. So we're talking about environmental surfaces. You know, think about toilet seats, toilet handrails, tray tables, and increasingly IT devices, you know, computers, displays, keyboards, which are being used at the patient bedside. They play a very important role in clinical documentation, but these devices can get very, very dirty and as a result, become a reservoir of these very dangerous pathogens.
Well, you know, that's a really good point. And before the wave of technology into the really point of care, the main thing we had to worry about was providers going room to room and not washing their hands. But here we have devices, whether it's a laptop or a tablet, going room to room. It could be as simple as an electronic thermometer going from room to room.
Right.
And so I remember 10 or 15 years ago when hospitals first adopted computers and for documentation of inpatient situations, they called them computers on wheels, CALS. And they would wheel those into a patient's room. I think now they try and keep them in the hallway, but they could still be very infectious. And anybody who's touching those devices is taking those pathogens directly into the environment where the patient is. So what is the solution? What can be done?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier, you know, the risk that environmental surfaces in general pose. I think what makes this especially tricky is that while hand hygiene is one of the most important interventions in our efforts to eliminate healthcare-associated infections, hand hygiene rates are really very low, unacceptably low, and varies a lot among healthcare providers. And therefore, it is very, very important to make sure that these IT devices, computers, keyboards, and displays are routinely cleaned and disinfected with hospital-grade germicidal wipes. You really want to make sure that these devices are clean so that even if a healthcare provider for some reason does not perform hand hygiene protocols and manage to get some of these pathogens on these devices, you know, these devices are cleaned and disinfected so they don't pose a risk of being transmitted to patients. So what's important here and we've worked very closely with board certified infection preventionists working on behalf of APIC Consulting Services. APIC, by the way, is the Association for Professionals in Infection Control and Epidemiology. Really just a wonderful organization made up of infection preventionists thinking hard about this issue. We've worked with them to think through what HP can do to play a role in infection control. And we've designed our devices from the ground up so that they can be routinely cleaned and disinfected up to 10,000 times with these very caustic germicidal wipes. And that's not easy. I mean, these things, chemicals, and I'm thinking of now about things like quaternary ammonium compounds, certainly bleach formulations, hydrogen peroxide, they are very, very corrosive and can really destroy regular IT devices if they are used routinely on them. But we've designed our products from the ground up so that these germicidal wipes can be used on them. And we've worked with APIC to come up with a white paper, which really helps infection preventionists who may be struggling thinking through the appropriate infection protocols and how frequently they should be cleaning and disinfecting these devices and so on. So there's, you know, some guidance, some advice that's available to such practitioners. And our hope is through the work that we do with our healthcare customers, through the webinars that we organize and so on, that we can really get a lot more collaboration between infection preventionists, IT, and the frontline staff to come together to tackle this problem. And the good news is we now have PCs and displays and keyboards that can be routinely cleaned and disinfected with these wipes. In the past, you didn't used to have that, so people had their hands tied. But now we have these solutions, which is terrific.
Well, this is really timely due to the fact that we're facing the coronavirus, and we don't know where that's going, but it's going somewhere. And, you know, you just one wonders what precautions are being taken as these devices go from one patient to another. Maybe they've got all the devices in isolation with the patients, I don't know. But certainly the spread of these viruses, unless care is taken, the devices are going to carry the virus with them.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And the problem is You know, some of these pathogens I mentioned earlier, especially these antibiotic-resistant pathogens, are more frequently, of course, found in hospitals where you have especially vulnerable patients. So it's the perfect storm where you have these especially harmful pathogens, and now you have, you know, patients who are immune compromised or maybe recovering from surgery. So that's why you have to be very, very mindful. Hand hygiene protocol is still obviously extremely important, but I think it's time to look harder at environmental surfaces, IT devices, which are ubiquitous. They're kind of hidden in plain sight. I think we're all familiar with research we've seen on how dirty our own smartphones might be. And so it's not, you know, it's not surprising that there's a tremendous amount of research showing that keyboards and other surfaces, IT surfaces in hospital systems are also very, very dirty.
Well, and I believe it's widely accepted of the contamination potential of person to person, just by the general public. You go to a supermarket and they have germicidal wipes to wipe off handbars for the grocery carts. So people are certainly used to it, and it's well recognized, and a lot of people use those. I'd like to move on to another aspect, potential risk of technology at the really point of care, and that has to do with electromagnetic interference. Some folks call it EMI. It's the disturbances that can be caused by external sources that affect electrical circuits, whether they are maybe IV pumps or things like that. What are your thoughts on that? What's the risk there?
Yeah, thank you, Jim. This is a more interesting one, because I think it's not something that a lot of people really have a full grasp on. But let me try and sketch out the nature of this problem. So, as you have more and more connected hospitals, you know, think about all the very modern medical equipment that we have. We also obviously have, like I mentioned, a lot of IT devices like PCs and so on for clinical documentation. You increasingly have wireless technology in this environment, which exposes patients and other very sensitive medical equipment to increasing levels of electromagnetic radiation. Think about all these different devices. And by the way, think about also the patients and visitors who are coming in with their own smartphones or e-readers or tablets and notebooks and so on and so forth. And what this means is you have all of these devices coming into the patient room, all using a radio spectrum, which is already, you know, very congested. And so the risk that these devices will start interfering with each other, you know, this electromagnetic interference, EMI, is very, very real. And the problem is that these simple machine errors caused by EMI could have very dangerous, even catastrophic results when you're talking about potentially life-saving equipment, especially in ERs and ICUs, like defibrillators or ventilators or pacemakers, right? So even small glitches can potentially cause an enormous amount of harm. So it's just lots of devices, lots of wireless devices equals an increasing level of electromagnetic radiation, and therefore chances of interference that could potentially be very harmful.
So we're bringing in the potential risk from these technological devices, increase electromagnetic interference. You've kind of outlined the risk. What can be done to minimize this risk?
So what's important here is really for the hospital staff, and especially folks who are biomedical engineers, clinical engineers, to think really hard about the electromagnetic environment of the facility, to very systematically think about all the devices that they're using in the emergency rooms and intensive care and, you know, other places in the clinical setting as well. And think about what that means. You know, how do they manage that electromagnetic environment? How do they really think through the procurement and purchase of electrical equipment, electronic equipment, in order to ensure that EMI is kept at a minimum and that you really have a good electromagnetic EMC among these devices. So that's really, really important. And what we've done at HP is very carefully designed our healthcare edition products to be certified at this much higher level. It's called the 60601-1-2. It's an IEC standard. Medical devices, by the way, are required to meet this higher standard so that the emissions are kept at the minimum, patients are safe, sensitive medical equipment doesn't malfunction. And what we've told ourselves is, look, I mean, we got to rise up to the challenge. This is not a requirement for IT devices. It is for medical, but it's not for IT devices like PCs and displays. But surely, you know, we can do better and we can design our products so that they meet this 60601-1-2 standard. And that's what we've done with our healthcare edition products.
And with your healthcare edition products, are you achieving that lower level of emission just by the shielding that you build into your devices, around the device itself?
Yeah, there are several things that we've done, exactly, and this is one of them. I mean, it's just really designed from the ground up in order to meet these standards. And basically, as our products get into the patient room and into the patient vicinity so that the care providers can do their documentation and so on, they have been designed this way, there is much less risk that they may inadvertently affect a patient with a pacemaker or, you know, somehow interfere with an infusion pump or something like that.
I know that next month, we're recording this in February, in March is the annual global conference, the HIMSS conference. It's the 20th year, be 45,000 people involved in health information management, technology. And I know HP is going to have a very large presence there, booth 1541. What's going to be in the booths, and what can we see there?
Yeah, we are very excited about HIMSS. It's a very important show. So at the HP booth, booth number 1541 this year, HP will demonstrate its end-to-end healthcare solutions. So we'll have a very large 3,500 square foot booth, and visitors will be able to see a patient journey. They will be able to really see how we can help a patient as she moves from a consultation with her primary care physician, being involved in a telemedicine session, and then as she progresses into the acute care hospital, undergoes procedures, and then comes home to recuperate. We will be showing how HP and our partners in the broader ecosystem have really pulled together these solutions to facilitate clinical workflows and improve the patient experience. So there's a lot in that show, a lot of different solutions, and our goal really is to illustrate how we can help our customers just deliver a much better patient experience and also help their care providers by streamlining workflows. So we're very excited about that.
You know, that's kind of almost the holy grail, that whether it's technology or workflows or new processes, people are looking for that is that continuum of care from symptom reporting to diagnosis to referral to possible procedures or treatment to recovery back to a state of hopefully wellness. And as you mentioned, Raja, this is not only technology, this is processes because a generation ago, as patients were moved from one care setting to another, it was almost like you were starting over. You went through a number of steps as opposed to really just following a path. And This seems to be the direction of healthcare, is this continuum of care where information is passed seamlessly. That's the desire, and that's what's hoped for, that the patient's record, the data relayed to them, is follows with them, and the goal is that patient-centered approach to healthcare.
Absolutely, to, you hit it there. Absolutely, Jim. And it's how we can allow organizations across the care continuum to share this data, take this much more patient-centric approach, and also do it very securely. So, you know, during our conversation today, we talked about our healthcare edition products and how these are safer in clinical settings. They're safer because they can be wiped down with germicidal wipes. To reduce the risk of healthcare-associated infections. They're safer because of the way they've been designed to the 60601-1-2 standard. But our healthcare edition products are also smarter in many ways. So they have certain features that really, again, help streamline workflows and take some of the drudgery out of using these kinds of devices and give a little bit more time to the care provider to spend time with their patients. You know, that you know, at its essence, it's a deeply personal interaction healthcare is. So we do that. So our devices are safer, smarter, and they are secure. They really have top-notch security features, which don't get in the way of people performing their tasks, but are just, you know, humming away in the background, making sure that the devices are secure at multiple levels.
You know, healthcare has gotten more complicated, and I'm not just talking from a technological standpoint. The patients that are being presented to providers now are different than patients a generation ago. In my belief, an example I give is when the baby boomers, largest demographic group, were children, and they were taken to see a provider. They might have a strep throat or a particular episodic thing that need to be addressed. Now, when those same people are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s and go in, it's not for a strep throat. It's because they may have a congestive heart failure. They may have diabetes. There could be a number of chronic conditions. So the patients are more complicated than they were a generation ago. So the need for that secure, relevant data is more important than ever, really, to my way of thinking.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, healthcare delivery organizations have been the focus of attack by the bad guys for a long time. I mean, protected health information by its very nature is extremely valuable to the bad guys.
Yes.
And then you add to that ransomware and being able to bring a hospital system down on its knees. It's just terrible. So obviously, I mean, we at HP, we take this very, very seriously, and we've addressed these security concerns at multiple levels, starting at what's called the firmware level, so deep under the OS. But moving all the way up through the operating system and the application layer, and then even beyond that in the way we've integrated features like privacy panels to reduce the risk of visual hacking and so on.
That's what they more or less refer to as the full stack, from the lowest level to the highest level. Hard to believe, but our time is just about totally up. But I want to ask you, for anyone who in our audience who's listening and wants to find out more about HP's healthcare solutions, what's the best way to contact or look up? How can they get more information?
Sure. So if you're going to be at HIMSS in Orlando, so that's the week of March 9th, please make sure to visit us at our booth. The HP booth is number 1541. And if you let some of the booth staff members know that you're there and that you heard this podcast, I'd be so happy to meet with you and show you some of our solutions.
Good. I'm going to be there, so I'll look you up. I'll look you up for sure.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. I'd love to see you there, Jim. Yeah. And then we'll also, we have a website which showcases our healthcare edition solutions and other solutions we have for healthcare. So that website is hp.com/go/healthcare. And we also have a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-820-5591. Once again, it's 1-800-820-5591 for those wanting to learn more about HP's healthcare solutions.
Well, thanks for that information. And I want to thank our audience for joining me on this episode of the Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest today, Raja Bodbury of HP. Raja, thanks for coming aboard today.
Thank you so much again, Jim, and thank you everyone for listening in.
Yep.
Bye.
You can find more information on this show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Until we meet again, here's wishing you smooth sailing and safe harbors.
Tate Chronicles transmission ending now.